This is What's at Risk on WBZ News Radio 1030 and WBZ.com with Mike Christian of Risk Strategies Company.
Hi, I'm Mike Christian, and welcome to a special encore presentation of What's at Risk. We're interested in what you're thinking about. Send us an email at whatsatrisk@risk-strategies.com and let us know what's on your mind. Tonight on What's at Risk, we examine a true Washington murder mystery in our discussion with Sari Horwich, co-author of Finding Chandra. This is the sad story of a murdered 24-year-old Washington intern and the ensuing media frenzy. Then, in segment two, we talk with Michael Bungay Stanier about his theories and practical exercises to help all of us do more great work. Gary Condit was a congressman and a serial adulterer with a taste for younger women. Chandra Levy, the 24-year-old Washington intern who was having an affair with him, thought he looked like Harrison Ford. She was also naive enough to believe that a 52-year-old representative who had served 11 years in the House was planning to give up his seat and his wife of 34 years to start a new life with her.
Every night was a fool's parade. We'd get so lost in the plans we made. We were cracking up, we were breaking down. We were filled with fire, burning up the town. And we lived it all right down to the bone. To the cold heart of the stone.
Levy, a constituent from Condit's district in California, had recently lost her internship at the Federal Bureau of Prisons and was about to return home to attend her graduation ceremony for her master's degree from the University of Southern California. On May 1st, 2001, she went for a walk in Rock Creek Park. She was never heard from again. Finding Chandra, a true Washington murder mystery, is the story of how two Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington Post reporters, Scott Hingham and Sari Horwich, spent a year trying to find the real killer in Washington's most famous unsolved murder. Their work prompted a re-examination of the murder case by the police and led to the arrest of the man they point to as the most likely killer, a Salvadoran immigrant who was attacking women in Washington's Rock Creek Park at the time of the 24-year-old intern's disappearance. His trial has started in October of 2010. Finding Chandra, Hingham and Horwitz document how the police, the FBI, and the news media went so wrong by focusing undue attention on Levy's lover, Congressman Gary Condit, while less glamorous leads went largely ignored. The book also provides a window into the darker side of the nation's capital. Journalists rushing to judgment, politicians living double lives and preying on young interns, and the tunnel vision of the police who had a congressman squarely in their sights. From the very beginning, the murder seemed almost fated to become a cold case. The police had no body, so the first crucial days and weeks of the investigation were slowed by doubt about whether Levy may simply have run away, a possibility her desperate parents took to the media to deny. And then there was Condit himself, who acted guilty by and, among other things, denying the affair and disposing of evidence of his other dalliances. Add the kind of small but significant screw-ups that often plague a murder case, an unqualified officer accidentally corrupting Levy's hard drive, the department's failure to obtain surveillance footage before it was erased by Levy's building, and you've got a perfect storm for an unsolved crime. Finding Chandra is an exploration of the fraught relationship between journalism and justice, and the tremendous power and responsibility that reporters and criminal investigators wield and sometimes misuse. Scott Hingham and Sari Horowitz are reporters for the investigative unit of the Washington Post. They have collaborated on several projects, including an examination of the deaths of disabled children in the D.C. foster system, which won the 2002 Pulitzer Prize for Investigative Reporting and the Robert F. Kennedy Journalism Award Grand Prize for Reporting on the Disadvantaged. Horowitz also shared in the 1999 Pulitzer Prize for Public Service and the 2008 Pulitzer Prize for Breaking News. We're here with Sari Horowitz, the author of Finding Chandra, a true Washington murder mystery. So you and your co-author spent a year re-examining the Levy case, and that effort resulted in a 13-part series that ran in the Washington Post in 2008, and then in this book, Finding Chandra. What inspired you to look into this, what at the time was a very cold case?
It was the most famous unsolved murder mystery in Washington, and it's a fascinating case. My colleague Scott Hyam and I have been reporters for more than 25 years, and this is really the most amazing case we've covered, with all its twists and turns. And what happened was, the editors of the investigative unit at the Washington Post, we're on the investigative unit, they came to us in 2007 and said, this, you know, famous unsolved murder is a cold case. Why don't you two take a year and shake every tree, look under every stone, interview everyone you know, get any confidential documents you can, which we did. We ended up getting thousands, and figure out what happened to the case. And so that's what we did, and we ended up with this 13-part series saying, basically, you know, people think they know the Chandra Levy story because of all the press the case received, but they don't, that there were so many new revelations that we found in this case, and it's just one murder, but it really was a window into sort of the darker side of Washington.
What were some of the initial missteps made by the Washington Metro Police in this investigation? Probably a lot.
Well, you know, the police have a very difficult job, police in any big city, and certainly in Washington. But there were so many missed opportunities and many critical mistakes they made. Really, everything that could go wrong went wrong in this case. Number one, they focused singularly on the wrong man. And let me explain how that happened. Chandra Levy, a 24-year-old intern, came to Washington she was finishing up her last year of graduate school at the University of Southern California, working as an intern at the Federal Bureau of Prisons in Washington. And she had a relationship, an affair, with a married congressman, Gary Condit. And he was really her only close friend in Washington. She didn't spend time with anyone else. So he immediately became someone that the police looked at. When the police went to her apartment to see where she was, her father called after a week and said, my daughter's missing. They went to her apartment, and they did not take the surveillance camera. There were several of them in the apartment that record, you know, who leaves, who comes in. They would have recorded when she left the building, what she was wearing, what time she left. They didn't get that in time, and they went back several days, and they kept forgetting to ask for it, and then it was recorded over, so that clue was lost. The other thing they did was they fiddled around with her computer, and what we're told is they corrupted the hard drive. And so the computer had to be sent out to the FBI for analysis and Secret Service for analysis, and it didn't come back for a month. If they had seen right away what she had looked for on the computer that morning that she disappeared, May 1st, 2001, they would have seen that Chandra looked up Rock Creek Park, a huge park in the middle of the nation's capital, and she clicked on the hiking trails. So she was clearly going out to the park, going on the hiking trails for a walk or a run. But because they didn't have that clue, they didn't have the surveillance camera, they had nothing but Gary Condit, and they got off on that path, and it was the wrong path.
So all the ineptness that followed it was just totally because they were focused on Gary.
Right. They ignored other clues, and one of the most important things they should have looked at, if they had known that she was going to Rock Creek Park, was there was a man really hiding in plain sight. He was attacking women, joggers, in Rock Creek Park that summer. He attacked one in May. He exposed himself to another one in May. He went after a woman, they believe, on the same day Chandra disappeared, but she got away. And finally, they attacked a jogger on July 1st, and he was arrested. And once he went to prison in D.C., he told an inmate, allegedly told an inmate that he had killed the woman that was on television in Rock Creek Park. He killed her in Rock Creek Park, but no one listened to him, really. And a year went by before her remains, at that point, bones, were found in the park.
Now, although I know you believe and others believe that this guy was responsible for the crime, Conda did act pretty guilty. Why do you think that was?
You know, Gary Conda did not help himself in this case. Although he was behind the scenes cooperating with the police, he talked to them four times, he let them voluntarily into his apartment to search it, he turned over his DNA. But publicly, he didn't want to talk about this. He was a politician, he was running for office, he had been representing the San Joaquin Valley for 11 years. But he was leading a double life. He was having a relationship with not only Chandra, but there had been other women. And we go through this in the book, Finding Chandra. We have a chapter on these women, and in fact, we have a diary from one of the women. And he didn't want to talk about this. He didn't want to do a Tiger Woods. He didn't feel like it would help him. And in the early days, what he told us is that he thought Chandra would reappear. He didn't know where she was, and he thought she would show up. And he certainly didn't want to ruin his career.
Did you actually interview him in the early days, or your paper?
We didn't interview him in the early days. We interviewed him for our series, and we talked to him again, and we have that information from the interview in our book. We went to California, met with him and his lawyer, Mark Garagos, and spoke to him at length. He is very bitter about the way that he felt he was railroaded. He used the word raped. He felt he was raped by the press. He felt that his career was destroyed, that the police and FBI didn't treat him well, and he's bitter about it.
No culpability whatsoever. Personal culpability.
And he still to this day will not really discuss his relationship with Chandra Levy.
And now I'm blessed and I'm pleased. When no one else is looking, I will fall down on my knees, and I will pray to any God keeps the light on late at night, for the miracle of miracles, the one that saved my life, finding you.
The following passage is from Finding Chandra. Investigators and prosecutors have expressed the hope that the arrest and ultimate conviction of Ingmar Guandique will help bring some solace to the Levys, but it's more complicated for them. For years, they have lived with the belief that Condit had something to do with Chandra's disappearance. It started when they first made the connection between Chandra's phone bill and Condit, and intensified when they called his home and listened to the congressman claim that he barely knew their daughter. As the truth of Condit's involvement with Chandra was gradually and excruciatingly revealed, Susan Levy only became more convinced of his guilt and increasingly consumed by a profound fury. She still can't let it go. In her daughter's room, surrounded by the images of Chandra and the things she loved, Susan's eyes redden and fill with tears. We have to maintain being good human beings and compassionate individuals and go on with our life because we have our son, she says. As horrendous as this story is, I think our daughter would want us to educate people to go on living and go on enjoying life. I think that is what she would want us to do. With Sari Horwich, the author of Finding Chandra.
Tell us a little bit more about the Salvadoran immigrant that you feel committed the crime. Is it Ingmar Guandique?
Ingmar Guandique is a fascinating piece of the story. He came to this country illegally in 2000, trying to find a better life for himself in Washington. He had a brother here he was living with. But things quickly didn't go well for him. He had trouble keeping a job. He started drinking. We have been told, and we see in court reports, that he used drugs. He had a girlfriend here. He became very violent with her. And things were quickly spiraling out of control for Ingmar Gwandike. And in May of 2001, he hadn't been here really hardly a year, he started hanging out in Rock Creek Park and basically going after women in the park. Now, the problem with the case that has been brought against him, and the reason that the prosecution is going to have an uphill battle in this case, is there is no physical evidence linking him to Chandra Levy and the murder of Chandra Levy. There is no DNA. There's no blood. There's no semen. There's nothing, because her body lay out in the woods for a year and 3 weeks. And all that was found, and this is so heartbreaking, were bones and pieces of her clothing spread out on the forest floor. And so the case is a circumstantial one. It's based on, of course, the other crime scenes in Rock Creek Park, the other women who were attacked, and the alleged confessions and statements he made to inmates in prison.
Has that trial begun now?
No, the trial is October 4th. There have been a series of court hearings leading up to the trial. Ingmar Gwandike is represented by an excellent defense team, the Public Defender Service in Washington, and they're going to fight hard for him.
Was he a member of MS-13, the violent Salvadoran gang?
We have no indication that he was a member of the gang before he went into prison, but clearly he joined MS-13 in prison and has tattoos all over his body indicating that he's a member of MS-13, the violent gang. It's interesting, after our series in the Washington Post that ran in July of 2008, 2 months later, the D.C. police went out to the Mojave Desert, to the federal prison where Ingmar Gwandike was serving a sentence for attacking the two women in Rock Creek Park, two women in 2001. And they went into his cell for the first time, and there was a magazine photograph of Chandra Levy, sort of a chilling moment.
Yeah.
And on his chest, he had a tattoo of a woman that the police wrote in court reports resembled Chandra Levy, sort of big hair. And then they talked to him, and he made some incriminating statements. And so a few months later, they arrested him and charged him with the murder of Chandra Levy.
Now, you talked about Condit's view of the press as far as the whole investigation. What are your thoughts about it? And I realize you're part of the press, but, you know, at the time, it was such a sensational case in the whole United States, not just in D.C. What are your thoughts about how the press dealt with it and maybe even affected the outcome?
Well, you're right, Mike. It was a sensational case, and it was not the finest hour for the Fourth Estate. And I am a member of the press corps, Washington Press Corps, but it was an unbelievable media frenzy, a media circus in the summer of 2001, and that included all of us, newspapers, television, radio. Press and the public seemed to be fascinated by this case of this attractive intern from California having an affair with her congressman and then suddenly disappearing. And because of that, there was such a rush to judgment, because it was a better story than someone just getting randomly attacked. You know, we know now Gary Condit had nothing to do with the disappearance or murder, but the idea that he might have been involved, it was such a juicy story. It was irresistible. And there were so many rumors and innuendo that managed to get not only into the tabloids, but into the mainstream press. Was Chandra Levy pregnant? Was Gary Condit a member of the Hell's Angels? You know, did Chandra know something about his work on the Intelligence Committee and in Congress and he had to get rid of her? You know, and it was just a great story, and it was camera ready for the cable television, which was just really taking off then.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, such incredible photos of, you had beautiful photos of Chandra Levy, and then you had Gary Condit walking with his hand out, like, I don't want to talk to the press. So it just made for good television, and the press got carried away. And we deal with this quite a bit in the book, Finding Chandra, because, interestingly, one major network show held out, and that was CBS Evening News with Dan Rather, who thought the case was sensational, tabloid, and not worthy of his show.
Yeah, and he actually was successful in not having it play on the CBS Evening News, right?
Exactly. Up until a point later in that summer when the FBI, there was an FBI source they had who said they did not believe it was Gary Condit and they had to really start all over. And then they put that on CBS News.
Gary Condit.
Sari Horwich, the author of Finding Chandra.
What about Chandra? What's her legacy? How does she end up in this whole thing?
A great question, because Chandra sometimes gets lost in the whole story. I think this is a cautionary tale for all young women. We dedicated the book to Chandra, who's really at the heart of the story. She was like so many young idealistic women who come to Washington with hopes and dreams. You know, I, too, came to Washington originally from the West to be a summer intern on Capitol Hill. And, you know, now is the time where we're seeing so many young interns, many of them women, coming to spend their summer in Washington. I related to her as a young woman coming to the city and being so excited by Washington. And I related to her as a mother, because it's every parent's nightmare.
Yeah, for sure. It is. It's a sad legacy, I guess. But maybe there's some lessons learned. What are some of the conclusions that you come to in the book, and maybe some of the lessons?
Well, there are lessons for the press to be careful about a rush to judgment. We've seen this before in many other high-profile cases. The anthrax case in the fall of 2001, when the press maligned a man named Stephen Hatfield. You know, the Atlanta Olympic bombing case, when an innocent man, Richard Jewell, was maligned by the press. The sniper case in Washington, when everyone was looking for a white truck. You know, sometimes the press just rushes. They want to be first rather than right. There are lessons also for the police. Again, the police have a very difficult job, but they have to be careful of tunnel vision. And, of course, that's what happened in this case, getting into a mindset of this is the way we're going, and it's so dangerous to not look at all the other possibilities.
Well, the name of the book is Finding Chandra, A True Washington Murder Mystery. Is there a place we can find out more about the book?
www.findingchandra.com has links where anybody can buy the book. Amazon.com also, you can buy the book there, Barnes & Noble. Findingchandra.com also has photographs of many of the players in this story. It has video of us out at the crime scene so that people can better understand where this horrible crime occurred. So that's probably the best place to look, and thank you for asking.
Gold Rebel, I've been searching throughout the world for you. No matter how I come, I'm no closer at all.
Time for a CBS News update. We'll be right back with more What's at Risk.